Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're going to center on the issue of the passing of Dr. Reverend Graham this hour. We're going to have a roundtable discussion. We're going to have a lot of guests, ministers and pastors that will be calling in from around the country to talk about and give their sentiments about Reverend Graham and what his ministry meant to them. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And with me in studio is Pastor Al Davis, who is co-hosting with me this hour. And Pastor is the senior pastor of Richfield Baptist Church. And also, he is the director of Live with Pastor Al on Fridays and Sunday nights right here on WHKW as well. Well, let's go to a little tribute this week that was sent out by the Billy Graham Association before his passing, of the influence he's had with presidents over the years. And as we celebrated President's Day this week, in acknowledgement of obviously Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, but now it's kind of meant to honor all presidents who have served us in the executive office, here's a little tribute back to Billy Graham because of his ministry to those who have served in the executive office.
Reverend William Billy Graham's untiring evangelism has spread the word of God to every corner of the globe and made him one of the most inspirational spiritual leaders of the 20th century.
I think it's through him that I found myself praying even more than a daily basis to give me the wisdom to make decisions that would serve God and be pleasing to him.
Billy Graham, the man, the preacher, the humble farmer's son who helped change the world, is a spiritual gift to all of us.
Who is this unique person that comes across the pages of history? Who is this Jesus Christ?
He's had many opportunities over the years to do other things that he turned down because God had called him to a higher calling, and that was to be an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ and to take the gospel to literally the ends of the earth.
Franklin Graham wrote this about his father's passing today. My father, Billy Graham, was once asked, "Where is heaven?" He replied, "Heaven is where Jesus is, and I'm going to see him soon." This morning, at the age of 99 years of age, he departed this world into eternal life in heaven, prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, whom he proclaimed for nearly 80 years. He will be missed by our family, his colleagues, faithful ministry partners, and yes, many around the world. But what joy he has to be welcomed by God the Father and be reunited with his mother in the presence of Jesus, who speaks peace to eternal souls. Franklin goes on to write, "What about you? When you depart this world, do you know where will you, with certainty, where you will spend eternity? You can know this today," Jesus said, "for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." John 3:16. The one who comforts weary souls has given us this promise. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus said. "I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And that was words by Franklin Graham about his father's passing this morning. Well, tributes are pouring in across the country and around the world as Dr. Reverend Graham has passed on at the age of 99. With us on the phone is Will Riddle, an advisor to the Ohio Christian Alliance, a former board member, and currently the executive director of operations for Prison Fellowship. Will, welcome to the program.
Chris, so good to be here with you.
Will, your thoughts about the passing of Billy Graham and what his life and ministry has meant to you?
Well, you know, it's hard to even start, Chris. I was just reflecting on it today. You know, I found out only a couple years ago that my father gave his life to Christ at the Billy Graham Crusade in 1965 and, you know, did the Bible studies that came, and eventually he rededicated his life as an adult, which, you know, of course, led to my conversion. And so indirectly, you know, Billy Graham's responsible for my own conversion, you know. And then I looked, and I went to seminary at Gordon Conwell in Boston. And Gordon Conwell was as a result of Billy Graham's influence in bringing together two struggling Bible schools, Gordon and Conwell. And he brought them together in New England with a vision to, you know, revitalize evangelicalism in New England. Those are just two personal cross points. And then, you know, the first Christian book I ever read, oddly enough, my youth minister had been the guy who cut Billy Graham's grass. And Billy Graham was such a legend even at that time that even to have cut Billy Graham's grass, it could get you a job, you know? And so he got the job, and because he had the connections from cutting his grass, he got us into the headquarters, and we all got a free book. And the first book I ever got, a Christian book I ever read, I got this free book from the Billy Graham Center, and it was Chuck Colson's Loving God. And here, 20 years later, I took the job at Prison Fellowship, you know, and so it was kind of almost a prophetic foreshadowing of my life. And that's just the personal impact. You know, I go on a lot about cultural, political impact as well.
Well, Will, thank you. I know that you're in the airport and you're traveling, you're doing work for Prison Fellowship and continuing the work of Jesus Christ through the ministry of those who are in prison, as the Lord Jesus instructed us. And thank you for what you do for Prison Fellowship and the continuation of the legacy of Dr. Graham, again, starting with your father and, you know, and now through your family and through your ministry. And, you know, thanks for taking a few minutes and stopping in today and sharing your thoughts about Dr. Graham. Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Chris.
God bless you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Right. Now we're going to go to Mark Milioni, who is the president of Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. Pastor Mark, how are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm good. Good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you for taking time, and as we're giving tribute to Dr. Graham today on the program, and obviously tributes are pouring in across the nation, around the world, for the family of Dr. Graham and what he has meant into the ministry, the Graham Association that has just ministered to millions literally around the world. Your thoughts today at the passing of Billy Graham?
Well, I think I would just like to echo that. You know, what does that say if how many millions of people are going to say a good word about somebody? Well, what a great life. Interestingly, you know, as the president of Baptist Bible College, we have chapel, and just about a month ago, I spoke in chapel and just talked to our students about the whole Me Too movement and challenged them to live a life so that they would never be in a position where somebody could accuse them, you know, to live a life and treat people right. And I began just by talking about how Billy Graham became known. One of the things that he was known for was his lifestyle. And the Billy Graham rule was in the news last summer when Mike Pence's rule about never being alone with another woman was highly criticized. And that kind of brought Billy Graham's name back up in the news for a little bit. And so we talked about that, the Billy Graham rule and how that came about and what that means for people going in ministry, but really everybody, and how the whole Me Too movement has kind of made people rethink their criticism of Mike Pence and the Billy Graham rule. So anyway, his life and his testimony are really what people are going to remember, and I'm very thankful for what he's meant.
Well, that's right. And, you know, you're launching a whole new generation of ministers and evangelists that will be going out and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the next generation, the current generation. What is your thoughts right now of the next wave of ministers that are going to be launched onto the scene and ministering across the landscape of America and around the world? What are you seeing in these young people that they're taking with them?
I think there is a renewal to being faithful to the scriptures. And that's one thing that Billy Graham, he was asked a while ago what he wanted to be remembered for. And he said, faithful to God, faithful to my family, faithful to the scriptures, faithful to my calling. And so a person that is going to have a testimony that lasts is going to be faithful to the scriptures. And so I think there is a renewal amongst young people today, rather than being trying to be culturally relevant. They're trying to be biblically relevant, and that's exciting. You know, America is searching. they're searching and searching for leaders that they can trust. And there's no more Billy Grahams, but there's certainly people looking for somebody like that.
You know, something that impressed upon me today, and as you see some of the clips of Reverend Graham over the years from the 1940s on, in each of the decades in which he ministered, you know, the power of the simplicity of the gospel as he presented it. And it wasn't, you know, as his daughter Ann Graham Lotz was saying today in a tribune, saying, you know, my father shared the gospel in a way that was so simple that everyone could understand it. And it doesn't have to be complicated to communicate the gospel. And Dr. Graham did that over the years. And, I mean, he met before millions and throngs of people, but he also met before dignitaries. And we just gave a little tribute at the beginning of the program of the ministry he's had to the White House over the years, the many presidents that he has prayed with and ministered to, you know, regardless of party affiliation, and just how this man rose above all that partisanship and all the divisions and rose to the challenge and was a minister to many. Your thoughts?
He did. He made friends with everybody, regardless of what other people thought. I think part of that is because he was so committed to the gospel, to what his relationship was with the Lord, rather than what everybody else thought. And it gave him some enemies in doing that, but that never stopped him. He was friends with everybody, and he was all about the cross. He was all about the gospel, and willing to just preach that in wherever he was at. And that took him places that, because of his willingness and his friends that he was willing to make, it took him places that other people would never have access to. You know, he was one of the first people to preach in Russia when it wasn't allowed, and some other, you know, communist places that the gospel wasn't allowed, but they let Billy Graham in because of his reputation. So sometimes we need to look at the bottom line and understand why he did what he did and said what he said. But you're right. He is a great example to simple preaching. It wasn't complicated. It wasn't difficult. People were lonely, and he hit it. People were addicted to something. He hit. A lot of alcoholics would watch his program and call in because they were looking for an answer, and he told them what it was. Very plain, very simple, and I'm very thankful for that.
He truly was an ambassador for God. He went around the world to many countries and many continents, and he kept his integrity as he traveled and ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're doing that right now there at Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, and raising up the next generation of young ministers that are going to go forth. And we pray for them that they have that same courage and that same tenacity to, you know, the love of the Lord will emanate from their lives and ministry, and that will change the lives of many. We pray for you, Pastor, and thank you for taking time today and share your thoughts about Dr. Graham.
Thank you, Chris. I miss Ohio, and I thank you guys often, and hope that God will continue to use you.
Absolutely. We're going to have you back. Thank you, Pastor Mark. God bless you.
Thank you, Chris. You too.
Again, that was Mark Milioni, the president of Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, and you can go to their website and learn more about their outreach. With us on the phone is Pastor Tim Throckmorton from Crossroads Church, Circleville, Ohio. Pastor, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
Well, thank you for stopping by. We've just visited with a few that have called in from across the country as, you know, folks are sharing their thoughts about what Dr. Reverend Graham meant to them. Just tell us your thoughts today in the passing of this this wonderful man of God, and he's gone on to his reward, but his legacy lives on. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I read a few years ago, and I believe it was Christianity Today, observed Billy Graham's life and influence. And here's what they said. It's always encouraged me. He was able to transform culture while at the same time transcending it.
Mm.
In other words, he changed the culture around him through the power of God at work in and through his life, but he was never shaped by the world around him. And that's, you know, I believe that's who God calls us to be, and who God calls us to be. You know, you and I both are engaged in, well, some would call political issues, but they're really biblical issues in state and national government. But we are to transform the culture, but never be shaped by it.
Mm.
We're to be the barometer, or the thermostat, not the thermometer, and shape the culture around it. He did that. He did it effectively. And I heard your previous guest talk about the simplicity of his message, and you mentioned that as well. You know, it's still the simple message of the gospel that changes hearts. And it's the truths and principles of Scripture that apply to every area of our lives. And those have never changed. And he got that, and he gave that.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, today, Kathy Lee was on with Megyn Kelly, and I just happened to flip through because I'm looking, turned on the tube when I saw that Dr. Graham had passed away. And so I'm flipping through the dials to look for the tributes that might be rolling in. And I saw Kathy Lee talking about Dr. Graham and her personal relationship with him. And she just starts, I'll tell you, she was on fire. She was preaching the gospel. And if you've seen that little clip, it's so passionate. She's just talking about Jesus. And the studio audience was there. It was really something. And she's talking about her personal story and relationship with Dr. Graham. And it's real sweet. So hopefully, you know, sometimes these things, Pastor Al is with me in the studio, Pastor Al Davis. You know, when some of these great personages pass away, it's a moment that God uses. And I was wondering when Dr. Graham was going to pass away. And this is an important moment, I think, for our country. When we look at the conflict and the division and what is going on, this is a statement, I think, for our country, a time to pause and think.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that, Chris. In fact, you know, what the narrative has been all this past week, basically, between the shooting in Florida at the high school, the Russia investigation, indictments, and Mueller, and all this stuff going on. And with this event, and I say event because God scheduled this. This did not happen in man's time.
Yeah.
God had a time, just like he has for you and he has for me. It's appointed unto a man once to die, the Bible says. There's a time. And I love Psalm 16 or 116, verse 15, where it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." God has a time. There's an appointment with death. And that was Billy Graham's message, that Jesus saves and we need our sins forgiven. So when that appointment with death comes, that we'll go like he had the confidence that he would go to be with the Lord. And I believe God allowed this to happen today to take the narrative from the news cycle and to move it onto something else, because all this stuff going on with the school shooter and this narrative of death and despair and where's hope, and we suddenly see a man whose message was death, but you don't have to despair, because there is hope.
Amen.
And I think that's what God's doing with this.
He is indeed. He gives an opportunity, Pastor Tim, for the pulpits to open up and start, basically preaching the gospel. And, you know, I think when I was thinking about the ministers today and those who are filling the pulpits, and we need to pray for our pastors, but they need a fire on them, the fire of God. And there was really, Billy Graham had that. It was a simplicity Amen. Of a message that he delivered, but there was such compelling nature to it that everyone was listening and was compelled to listen to what he was sharing. I mean, we're talking about the son of a farmer from Middle America who basically traveled the globe and spoke before millions. Pastor Tim, your thoughts?
Well, you think when Mordecai Ham preached that tent meeting and he comes walking down the aisle in North Carolina, no one would have imagined but God. And it is that simplicity of the message, but you really, Chris, touched on, I think, the most important thing. You know, there's an old saying, a tree is best measured when it's down. And as we look at Billy Graham's life in its entirety, and we do hear him preach that same message, live by core biblical principles in everything, but above and beyond that, you hit it on the head, Chris. There was an anointing and power of God on that message and on that man as he was submitted and humble and usable by God. It was the power of God through him that transformed lives and quite honestly, you know, a culture and is still working and transforming today through all the ministries of BGEA and through the ministry of Franklin and Ann and on and on. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is how we're supposed to live a life. This is how pastors, this is the benchmark. This is how, as we follow Christ, we see it embodied through the faithfulness and the humility and the effective life of Billy Graham.
If you've just tuned in, we're giving tribute to the passing of Dr. Reverend Graham, who has gone on to his reward, and that reward is Jesus. You know, it's why Franklin Graham, his son, said that, where is heaven? Well, heaven is being with Jesus. And I always thought about that, too. People are saying, well, I'm looking forward to walking on the streets of gold. And I thought, I'm looking forward to being with Jesus.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to being at his feet, to be prostrate before him and to be at his feet and to just be with him and cling to him. That is heaven. And that's what Billy was talking about. You know, heaven is where Jesus is. You know, it's not so much a place, it's a person. It's being time, it's spending time with him. And, you know, it's funny how people say, Pastor, well, rest in peace. And I'm like, you know, I don't know. When I look in the Bible, it says that there's continuous praise in front of the throne of God, night and day. There's no sleeping there. There's a lot going on. So,
amen.
It's a very happening place. You know, all the resting you've done is in this earth. You know, we've spent a lot of time sleeping. How much of our life is spent sleeping? When you're with God, there is no. You're not tired, and there is no night there, and there's only day. In his presence. And so that's what we're all looking for. And if you're listening today and you don't know the Lord Jesus, and what we're saying to you sounds a little strange, it doesn't have to be, because God loves you. He does have a plan for your life. Pastor Tim, would you share with us and our listeners just what that means?
Well, this life, Paul said, if we had hope in this life only, we'd be of all men most miserable. And I don't have to ask people to look too far to see the futility and the effects of sin upon this world. However, there is a heaven, and God, the God of heaven, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, that we, through faith in him, could have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we make so many things so complicated, but this is so simple. We just need to admit that we're a sinner, admit that we need God in our lives, that our ability's not enough, and ask him to forgive us of our sins and come into our heart and life and believe that Jesus is God's Son who came to forgive us of our sins.
Amen.
We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And everyone listening, regardless of where you're at or what you've done, you can pray a simple prayer asking God to forgive you, and he will come into your life, and he will be your personal Savior. And not only can you have a personal relationship with him here, but you can have an eternity in heaven with him there.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. We've run out of time, but if you've heard that message, accept the Lord Jesus and be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thanks for listening. God bless you.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus us fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
On March 8th and 9th, Cleveland Right to Life's nationally acclaimed Bringing America Back to Life convention will be held in Cleveland. This two-day event has become a touchstone, a point of renewal for the national pro-life movement. Join us to hear presenters such as much-loved blogger Matt Walsh, George Barna, whose books and research on cultural trends have positively impacted the nation, Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy, whose vlogging shut down Teen Vogue's promiscuous print magazine, Walter Heyer, a former transgender whose sex change regret healing ministry reaches into 150 countries. These are a sample of the 20 presenters who will provide coverage of the full spectrum of life issues. Join us March 9th and 10th as we bring America back to life. Visit bringingamericabacktolife.org or call 440-503-8278. That's bringingamericabacktolife.org or 440-503-8278.
And we're back, and thank you for joining us as we continue to give tribute to the life and ministry of Dr. Billy Graham as he passed away this week at the age of 99. I want to thank Pastor Al for joining me in the studio, and we're going to have some other call-in guests that will give their tributes to Dr. Graham and what he's meant to their life and ministry. Very interesting to hear from Will Riddle, who is the Executive Director of Operations for Prison Fellowship, that his dad was saved through the Billy Graham Association and meetings, and then Will's life was affected from that. And Will is now affecting ministry across the nation through Prison Fellowship, Chuck Colson's ministry. And so it just goes on and on as the legacy of the gospel of Jesus Christ continues, of those who have been touched and ministered to by the life of Dr. Graham as he preached the gospel. We're going to go to an audio clip of a tribute from Fox News of Dr. Graham.
Two roads. There's the broad road that leads to destruction and judgment, and there's the other road that leads to heaven.
He preached to more people than anyone in history.
And followed Jesus. Let him lead you home.
An evangelist who touched tens of millions, called by some the Protestant Pope. The world was his pulpit.
I never dreamed there would ever be a night like this in my life.
The Reverend Billy Graham said he first felt the Spirit at age 16 after hearing an evangelist preach in Charlotte, North Carolina. Soon after, Graham left his family's dairy farm and went to Bible College in Florida, where he started preaching on the streets of Tampa.
They have a place there where this saloon keeper threw me out into a ditch and told me never to come back.
Graham received a warmer reception from Ruth Bell. The two married in 1943, and as their family grew, so did his ministry.
There are problems of sin and habit that cannot be solved outside the person of our Lord Jesus Christ.
A 1949 California tent revival drew national attention.
Israel did not obey the voice of God. Israel wandered further and further from God.
Around the world, crowds began filling stadiums, coming to hear a lively new message about Jesus Christ and his Heavenly Father.
I want to tell you about God.
Graham became a confidant of presidents. He has counseled or met with every U.S. president from Harry Truman to Barack Obama.
Shall we pray?
He's been a fixture at several inaugural events, praying at four official presidential inaugurations. Although he was asked many times to run for office, Graham said he was never tempted. He just wanted to preach, which he did into his early 90s.
I have no plans to retire. The Lord may have plans.
But Parkinson's disease slowed him down.
I think God has sent it to me at this age to show me that I'm totally dependent on Him. And when I go into the pulpit to preach, I may have to have a little bit of help getting to the pulpit, but when I get there, I can sense the presence and power of the Lord.
Following the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, Reverend Graham was called upon to help comfort a grieving nation.
I've been asked hundreds of times in my life why God allows tragedy and suffering. I have to confess that I really do not know the answer, totally. Even to my own satisfaction,
I have to accept by faith that God is sovereign and he's a God of love and mercy and compassion in the midst of suffering.
Throughout his life, the man known as America's pastor continued to preach a simple message to accept Jesus Christ.
My father is very clear in giving people an opportunity to accept by faith and to invite Jesus Christ into their hearts, into their lives.
On his 95th birthday, Reverend Billy Graham delivered his final sermon through a pre-recorded video message shown in churches and other outlets around the world, taking his message to a new generation.
He loves you, willing to forgive you of all your sins.
Graham lived his life with a sense of humility and integrity that endeared him to millions worldwide, reaching hundreds of millions in person, on television, and across the airwaves, especially the nearly 215 million who witnessed Graham preach.
He spoke with conviction, and he spoke with passion, and he spoke in simplicity. Anybody could understand him. And he knew enough to know what are some common threads in human nature.
With Graham's death, his ministry officially passes on to his family, his son Franklin, and daughter Anne. What started in a tent more than a half century ago has turned into the largest ministry in the world. Billy Graham's long active life has come to an end, but his legacy lives on.
But if you remember nothing that I say tonight, except one thing I want you to remember, God loves you.
Lauren Green, Fox News.
And the words of Jesus in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Dr. Graham preached the gospel for many decades. From 1940 on, he continued to preach the gospel. Back in that Los Angeles meeting, it is rumored that William Randolph Hearst, the media mogul who might have been in that tent meeting, we're told, and he told the papers the next that evening, Puff Graham. That's a little story that's said. And so this little farm preacher gets the top billing because William Randolph Hearst, a very rich and wealthy man, a very influential, very powerful man, just happened to be another attender at that meeting in Los Angeles. The life and times of Louis Saperini, the story in which played out on movie screens across the country a few years ago, who was a World War II veteran and a prisoner of war in Japan during the war in the Pacific, a man who was very bitter when he came home, an alcoholic, and through the ministry of Billy Graham, turned his life completely around, in which he was able to forgive his captors. With me in studio is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Pastor Al, your thoughts?
Well, again, it's good to be with you, Chris, and talking about Dr. Billy Graham here and different things happening today in relation to sharing thoughts, what he's meant to people, and the impact he's had on people. You had mentioned about William Hearst, and that really was, I've heard that from several sources. In fact, there's a evangelist who's long since gone to be with the Lord, who was kind of a mentor of Billy Graham in his early days, Dr. Monroe Parker. And he also said the same thing, that William Hearst had actually gotten behind him. And so there's a lot of things that took place, because that was kind of the internet of the day, was a newspaper. A lot of our listeners today are not reading the newspaper.
That was the internet of the day, yes.
Yeah, and he controlled newspapers and what was in the newspapers around the country. And by making that decision to puff Graham, or, you know, push him and promote him, that's what brought him to the attention of the country. But in reality, any ministry, it's God that's working that brings somebody.
Yes.
Because I was reading here in 1 Corinthians, and it's really interesting because Paul's writing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. He says, For ye see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And you said it earlier, he was the son of a farmer.
Yes.
You know, I remember, you probably remember this when you were younger as a preacher, all the older preachers and evangelists always had the story about following a mule plowing a field somewhere. Well, Billy Graham probably actually did that.
Yes.
And you take somebody from doing that to, you know, following a mule in a field to proclaiming the gospel before literally kings and queens, and prime ministers, presidents,
that's
world leaders.
Right. In fact, the recent series on The Crown on Netflix, talking about the life of Queen Elizabeth, and there was this the segment where she meets Dr. Graham, and it was at a very strategic time in which she's struggling with her uncle, who was the king who abdicated, David, who before he abdicated during the war, actually hit the throne, but wanted to come back into society and to the royalties, and she was struggling with that because he had a dubious nature. Even relationship with the Nazis that had not been known to the British people during the time of the war. It was very interesting history, but she was struggling with forgiving him. And she had this personal meeting with Dr. Graham about forgiveness, and she just, you know, she says, "I am a Christian." And she's talking, it was very touching, but it was a portrayal of her meeting with Dr. Graham. So he had such influence on presidents and royalty and ambassadors and kings and presidents around the world. And so the Lord used this man in a tremendous way. With us on the phone is Pastor Jason Williams, and he is from the North Side Baptist Church in Columbus. Pastor, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm extremely honored to be a part of the show. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Pastor. Jason, what are your thoughts with the passing of Dr. Graham? What has it meant to you, his life and ministry?
Yeah, Dr. Graham meant so much to me personally. I read a book called The Preacher and the President a long time ago, and that book really kind of defined and shaped ministry for me, because it was more of a look at how Dr. Graham spent time with what people would term sinners, and how he was able to be around them and influence them and be a part of their life. So much so that he would often spend nights at the White House, and in times when the entire nation would be in turmoil, and he would just be kind of that steadying influence in those hard times.
That's right. In fact, that's right. In one of the clips that we played, a very emotional moment was George Bush Sr. Talking about Reverend Graham, because the night before the invasion of Kuwait was so much on the line, he had Dr. Graham join him at the White House that night and prayed with the family, prayed with him personally before he sent men into and women into harm's way. Your thoughts,
yeah.
Pastor Jason?
Yeah, I think you know, that whole part of it was is a huge influence, and really shaped how I want to be a pastor. He was there for people when they needed him. He was there for people when other people were turning against him. You know, famously spend time with John F. Kennedy when many of the conservatives did not approve of that. But was passionate about attempting to give the gospel to this man. And that really did a lot for me. And then obviously, you know, we all know about the Crusades, and we all know about the impact the man has had on just sharing the gospel with so many people. And I think you only get to share the gospel by being intentional about sharing the gospel. So for him to do that was just, it's something that a young guy who's starting up, you know, we're planning a church in Westerville now. For me, that's it's so encouraging to see God use somebody in such a powerful and amazing way.
Well, that's right. And, you know, he has had an impact on so many. And we've had a number of ministers and leaders from across the country calling this hour to share their thoughts and give tribute, as tribute is being pouring in from across the country and literally around the world. Pastor Al, your thoughts?
Yes, Chris. And thinking about Dr. Billy Graham, you know, I've seen him on TV a number of occasions, probably most of our listeners have, and also read a few of his books, different things here and there, and some of his biographies. There's been a couple of different ones out there. I only had one chance to actually hear him in person, and that was in the 1972 Crusade right here in Cleveland, Ohio, the old Municipal Stadium. I was about 1 month shy of my 12th birthday, and the church I grew up in, where I got saved, a little Hinckley Ridge Baptist Church, a little out in the middle of nowhere, Hinckley was at the time, right next door to where I grew up in Richfield. And we had an old battered yellow school bus. Remember how many churches used to have those old school buses? A lot of churches still do. We had an old used school bus. I think the school got rid of it because they were tired of fixing it. And I think it was on blocks more than anything. But they had that thing up and running and loaded that up and took it up there to the Cleveland Crusade several nights. And I remember that. That's this memory. I think it's the only time I've ever been in the old Municipal Stadium. But you actually saw him at the Cleveland Municipal Stadium yourself, didn't you?
I did. We were early in the ministry in 1994. And, a few years later, and he came back to Cleveland in 1994. And again, old Municipal Stadium, and it was packed.
Yes,
and
it was then too.
It was indeed. And so many people that had come and heard the gospel, and you could see the aisles fill up with those who were coming down to receive the Lord Jesus in response to the ministry. In fact, in 1972, the event you went to, I've talked to a number of people that said that that was when they accepted the Lord Jesus. And that, in fact, many of them have gone into the ministry. So, I mean, on and on it goes. I mean, the life and times and ministry and legacy of Dr. Graham just continues. And even now, as Franklin Graham is holding evangelistic meetings across the country. In fact, Jason, you're going to be working with the Graham Association. We hope so. We know that you're in line to do that here in Ohio to network with pastors. And last year, Franklin came and actually conducted a prayer meeting at the Ohio State House. And there was something like 5,000 to 7,000 people that came out for that. It was a great gathering, and again, just a time of prayer and simple preaching by Dr. Graham's son, Franklin Graham, and he's doing the same thing now. He just concluded a series of meetings across the state of Texas, and now he's going up the West Coast. He's going a number of meetings through California, Oregon, and Washington State. Tell us a little bit about that, Jason.
Yeah, I actually am just starting my training here in 2 weeks for the Billy Graham Association, which I'm extremely excited about. What we're doing in Ohio is like you said, we're partnering with churches and connecting with churches, providing resources, encouragement, prayer teams, and help. Recently, we had the police officers who were tragically killed in Westerville, and I had some friends of mine who are not part of church or wouldn't call themselves churchgoers texted me and said, "Hey, the Billy Graham Association is in Westerville right now helping out." And that's an incredible thing, just kind of a legacy to Dr. Graham. But we're doing that. We're partnering with churches in Ohio to network and to encourage and to send information and different equipping times for them. And then also throughout the Crusades, I get to go and be able to be a part of these. We're setting up meetings in California right now. I'll go to North Carolina here in a couple months, and then or a couple weeks, and then I'll start traveling state to state to begin to meet with these pastors in each state. And the association is really all about encouraging churches and then reaching the lost, and something I'm very passionate about. I would not be able to do the Ohio Prayer Caucus if not for Dr. Graham, and then would not be able to be a part of a ministry that has a global impact like this. So obviously his legacy is very important to me.
Well, that's awesome, Jason. Congratulations on that position. And,
yeah, thank you.
And so glad that, that has worked out. And so that's awesome, brother. We'll be praying for you as you continue to minister. And again, the legacy goes on. Pastor Jason, thanks for joining us today. We'll be having you back on to talk more about the ministry as we continue our thoughts with Dr. Graham. But thanks for stopping in today.
Hey, thanks for letting me join you guys. I appreciate it.
You're welcome,
Have
brother.
A good one.
Blessings.
Bye.
Well, Pastor Al, as we think about, Dr. Graham, one of the things that concerned him. And I remember this story that was told. Doss Troutman, of course, was the founder of the Navigators. The Navigators is a discipleship-oriented ministry. It's basically, right. Someone can come to faith in Christ, but they need somebody to disciple them, just as Jesus gave the example where he took the 12 and he discipled them in a very intimate way of teaching them, even the rudimentary questions of, Lord, how do we pray? And he walked them through and then sent them out to minister. And the instruction of how to go out and to preach the gospel, how to minister unto others. And all of that we can see unfolded in the gospel, but it's a very personal discipleship. So when someone comes to faith in Christ, you can't, just like a new babe, you don't orphan them. If you're right. adopting a child, there's going to be changing of diapers and feeding and waking up in the night and walking with a child. There's growing pains with a child. So it is with someone new in Christ. And so, Dr. Graham was cognizantly aware of all these people coming to faith in Christ, but he said to Doss Troutman, they were on a retreat together. Bill Bright was also the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, who was also part of that team. They were peers, actually. And so Doss Troutman and Billy were walking on the beach, and they were at a retreat and together, kind of a consultation time. And Billy says to Doss Troutman, he says, "Doss, I can't sleep at nights." He said, "I need help. All these people are coming to faith in Christ, but I don't know where they're going. I don't know what's happening to them. I can't sleep at night." And Doss says, "Billy, that's not what we do. What we do is like one-on-one." And Doss Troutman's ministry started prior to World War II in the Navy in San Diego. And by the time of the bombings of Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941, they had navigators, evangelistic teams on 2,000 ships of the U.S. fleet.
Wow.
So it happened one-on-one. And so Billy just grabbed a hold and says, "Doss, I can't sleep at night. You've got to help me. You've got to give me something where we can make sure that these people are being discipled and trained." And so thus the partnership between the Navigators and the Billy Graham Association to be able to follow up with people. And so the Graham Association did that. With trying to get them plugged into a local church. Pastor, your thoughts? We got just a few minutes left.
And that is part of the gospel message. And we understand it's not enough, it is enough to go to heaven, to trust Christ as your Savior and experience the forgiveness of sins. That was his message. But there is that real concern, and Jesus even said it after we share the gospel with them. We're to teach them to observe all things whatsoever he's commanded us. And there's a lot of things that the Bible has in store for Christians that we need to know and understand if we want to be used like Dr. Graham was to be able to reach out to others. We need to know we're saved. That's first and foremost. We need to know our sins are forgiven and we have a home in heaven because Jesus paid for our sins with his own blood upon the cross. But then having trusted Christ as our Savior, as Dr. Graham's life shows, there's so much more that God has in store for us. So much he wants to do with our life if we'll just yield it over to him.
Well, that's exactly right. And many people are hurting today. Many people have questions and they actually have a void in their lives. They're looking at what's happening in the world today with so much tumult going on in the world, whether it's, in our own streets, in our own schools, and in society at large right now, there's so many challenges to everyday life and a question as to what is it all about? What really is life all about? Well, God's trying to get the attention of America. When a nation turns away from God, these things happen. What's missing? Why have all these things happened? Is because men have forgotten God. But he's not so far away that those who seek him shall find him. Call upon the Lord, for he is near. And his mercy is near. So if if you're listening today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we encourage you to call out upon him. If you have a Bible in your home, open up that Bible and ask the Lord to direct you in scripture reading. And then find a local church that preaches the gospel that's near you. And we ask you to do that, a church that is preaching the gospel. And then share with them, share with someone at the church that, "Hey, I just accepted the Lord as my Savior. I prayed the prayer and, I've called out upon the Lord and I need some help and direction." And the Lord will direct your steps. In fact, if you're in the Richfield area, or, you know, Cleveland area, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church with Pastor Al. And their congregation meets on Sundays. What's your location of your church, Pastor?
Well, we actually meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. That's right midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where 77 and the Turnpike cross.
Well, and the number for folks to call?
Our phone number is 330-659-6561.
Awesome. Well, Pastor Al, thank you for coming on the program today. We had some great guests today to give tribute to
Chris,
Dr. Graham, and you know, and just the awesome ministry that he's had over the years. And I just pray for our nation right now that they, you know, many would just take time and reflect and think about, you know, what is the meaning of life? You know, why am I here? You know, where am I going? And you know, what is the meaning of life? Well, the answer is the gospel. It's Jesus. And people, it's not religion, but people really do need to come to know who Jesus is, and then that puts everything together. Well, we're glad that you've stopped by and visited with us as well, and each week we come to you at the same time. This is a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. If you'd like to learn more about our organization, our upcoming Spring Freedom Banquet on April 19th, that's also on our website at ohioca.org, or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Also, if you have some questions about today's program, some thoughts, you can phone us at 330-887-1922. Again, that's 330-887-1922. Well, thanks for listening today. If you've missed any of the program, you could always log on to our website and hear the program in its entirety, again, at ohioca.org. God bless and good night.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.